In last week's gospel from Luke, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then Jesus issued directives that were the polar opposite of our norms about what is wise and what is necessary to live in the United States of America. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In my sermon last week at St. Mark's, I lamented, "Do not be afraid." Does anything make most of us Americans more afraid than the idea of living without possessions, without money? Isn't that what flood victims in our region are dealing with at this very moment? The sudden loss of all of their possessions? I believe in my heart in Jesus. I believe that I follow Jesus. But these clear directives from Jesus make me feel afraid and ashamed. When was the last time I sold anything of genuine value and gave it away? When was the last time I lived unafraid? And in our portion of the Gospel of Luke today, Jesus' words seem meant to provoke fear and division, which, I don't know about you, but it increases my anxiety. "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. They will be divided." In Jeremiah, we heard that the Lord's word is like fire and a hammer breaking a rock. And this passage in Luke is difficult. For some people, it's one of the most difficult to grapple with, including for me. And as difficult as Jesus' words may have been to hear in the Gospel of Luke these past few weeks, and as challenging as they might continue to be for us throughout the season after Pentecost, if we look back to the prophets, if we look back to the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, it is clear that Jesus' teaching throughout his ministry were consistent with what was prophesied about him before his birth and what he preached throughout his ministry, even up to his death. From the first chapter of Luke, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.'" And from the fourth chapter of Luke, "Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And then he said, 'Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" And he said a few more things, and they tried to throw him off a cliff. In the sixth chapter of Luke, we have the Beatitudes, and the first half are similar to what we hear in Matthew. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." But then we have something different. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Just as Mary knew her purpose when she chose to say yes to God and bring Jesus into the world, Jesus clearly knew his purpose. And that is why he was so impatient for the fire to be kindled, for the baptism to commence. Jesus knew that his purpose was to turn the values and expectations of this world upside down, topsy-turvy, lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry with good things, bringing release to the captives, setting free those who are oppressed, proclaiming woe for people who are rich, full, and laughing at the expense of people who are poor, hungry, or suffering. To paraphrase a conversation between theologians Caroline Lewis, Joy J. Moore, and Matt Skinner on the Sermon Brainwave podcast last week, Jesus desperately wanted to see the kingdom of God come to fruition. We hear that urgency in the gospel this morning. But Jesus knew there could be no revolution or resolution without an intense reckoning, the exposure of false gods, individualism, materialism, racism, violence. Jesus knew that making this world more like the reign of God would be incredibly difficult and it would be costly, that it would require an entirely new system and a new way of human relating. End paraphrase. Jesus made the same demands and had the same expectations consistently throughout his life and ministry on earth. We will hear these same demands and expectations throughout the rest of the Gospel of Luke, which we're going to hear proclaimed every Sunday throughout the long green season after Pentecost. Jesus knew that his ministry would create conflict and division because what he proclaimed was so contrary to the values of this world, in which selfishness, individualism, and violence have sadly often been rewarded. As I mentioned in chapter 4, Jesus was nearly killed, and there are other times when his life was in danger before the crucifixion, because he challenged Caesar's power and questioned religious authorities. And ironically, selfishness, individualism, and violence have often been rewarded throughout the history of the church, the very community that claims to follow Jesus. Thankfully, faith in Jesus does not require perfection. But faith does require the willingness to take righteous risks for the way of Jesus. And for each of us, those risks will be different. Maybe it is selling something of value and giving the money to help flood victims. Maybe it is simply releasing the hold that fear has over your life so that you may live more abundantly in Christ. Maybe it is changing jobs to follow your vocation, even if that means you have fewer worldly possessions. Following Jesus may look foolish to others. It may cause us anxiety or lead to suffering when we step outside of social norms and expectations. Following Jesus may cause divisions in our families. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to be impatient with him. We are called to kindle that fire. We are called to turn the values and expectations of this world upside down, lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry with good things, bringing release to the captives, setting free those who are oppressed, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, striving for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. May we do all these things with God's help, with the urgency and fire of Jesus, and filled with the Holy Spirit, for the sake of the reign of God. Amen.